Good day, everyone, everywhere, and special greetings to all those seated in heavenly places in Yahshua, our Messiah. The name of this program is Cross the Border, and I'm Nicholas, and we've been going through the Bible here, book by book, chapter by chapter, and verse by verse, and we are going to start in another book today. Having just finished up the Gospel according to Luke, I thought I'd stick with the same author for a while, and we would continue with Luke's writing here in the Acts of the Apostles. Some people just call it the Book of Acts, but the Acts of the Apostles is what it is. Luke, not a first-hand witness, but went about, and he talked to first-hand witnesses, and he built his gospel account. And he continues that account by saying in Acts chapter 1 and verse 1, he writes for us, the former treatise, of course referring back to what we call the Gospel according to Luke, the former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day in which he was taken up. After that, he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. So here we have a report from Luke, who talked to all of the apostles, such as were left. Of course, I don't believe he was able to talk to the one Judas Iscariot. But he talked to the rest, and he talked to other witnesses. And he reports here that Yahshua, the Messiah, was seen of them 40 days after his resurrection until his ascension. He continues, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which he saith he, you have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they were therefore come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? The question still looms large in their minds. And he said to them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put in his own power, but you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, Yahshua, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven. So what we have here is we have a couple angels prophesying to them that our Messiah is going to return in the same manner that he was taken up. He went up flesh and bone, if you'll remember from his own lips. He said, a spirit hath not flesh and bone, so he was more than a spirit or a ghost, as they might have believed, or a phantasm, and he will return in the same way. So we wait for that day. Of course, the hyperpreterists and some like to say that he returned in 70 AD. But he did not return in the same manner that he went up. If he did, he returned, of course, in 70 AD. He returned, if he returned at all, he returned in judgment, because it was his judgment his sword wielded by the Romans, basically, even as he wielded Babylon against Israel at the first abomination and desolation of Jerusalem and Israel. He wielded the Roman Empire as his sword at the second desolation following the abomination of national Israel. So there you have it. The abomination which maketh desolate happened twice to Israel. And I'm sorry, I don't believe it can happen anymore. No, it certainly can't. There's plenty of an abomination spread around on the earth, though. And there's plenty of desolation coming. So for all of you that miss it, well, just stick around. It's coming. Okay, we'll continue here. So he will return in like manner as you've seen him go up. And like I say, well, it's too bad that the hyperpreter's got it all wrong. He did not return in the same manner. He did not return in flesh and bone as he had, as he was when he went up. So we look forward to the return of Christ. And I feel sorry for the hyperpreterists because they have nothing to look forward to. As they proclaim, this is the new heaven and new earth for them. And so what do they got? Well, that's it. I guess they got what they have, what we all have. It's suffering, pain, sorrow, eventually death, and dirt. Yeah, pretty much the same thing that all of the unbelievers, skeptics, and atheists hope for. Yes, but I believe their hope will be in vain. I'm certain it will. They would be fortunate indeed if dirt was their only destiny. Okay. Chapter 1 and verse 12. Then returned they into Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is from Jerusalem a Sabbath day's journey. And perhaps that means it was a leisurely journey. I don't know. But we have here recorded a Sabbath day's journey, as if that's another type of journey. I think they did have a rule, though, that you could only travel so far on the Sabbath before it was considered work or something like that. But I don't have those rules. I don't have those extra biblical writings, book of rules. But so there must have been something to a Sabbath day journey. I'm sure you could find out from some Hebrew Judaistic scholar what a Sabbath day journey was. And when they were come, they went to an upper room where abode both Peter and James and John and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus and Simon Zelotes and Judas the brother of James. And his name would have been Judah or Yahudah, if you really want to go back to the Hebrew. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. And in those days, Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples and said, the number of names together, we have a parenthetical phrase here, the number of names together were about 120. So we have a congregation here where Peter stands up in the midst of the disciples, about 120. So it's not just the 11, you know, the 12 minus 1, but there's about 120. Men and brethren, this scripture must needs have been fulfilled, which the Holy Ghost by the mouth of David spake before concerning Judas, which was guide to them that took Jesus. And of course, speaking of Judas, the one who betrayed the Messiah, for he was numbered with us and had obtained part of this ministry. Now this man purchased a field with the reward of iniquity, and falling headlong burst asunder in the midst, and all his bowels gush out. And it was known unto all the dwellers at Jerusalem, insomuch that field is called in their proper tongue Akeldama, that is to say, the field of blood. For it is written in the book of Psalms, let his habitation be desolate, and let no man dwell therein, and his bishopric let another take. So we have here Peter getting together with, the apostles, the other 10 beside himself, making 11, and there's about 120 disciples there all together. And he's quoting from the Psalms where it says, "And let his bishopric another take." And I don't have that from the Psalms, but I'll take Peter's word for it as it's recorded here in Acts. But I'm sure if we set about to look it up, we could find it in the Psalms. So the bishopric is to be taken by another. So here we have Peter taking care to obey the scripture and to fulfill it completely. There's nothing wrong with that, seeing a scripture that needs to be fulfilled and fulfilling it. "Wherefore of these men which have companied with us all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us." So he's speaking of the 120 there, and he's going, of these men who've been here all the time. So, you know, Yeshua, Jesus, didn't just have the 12 following him. He had a much larger congregation, because Peter's testimony is here that they accompanied with us all the time that he went in and out among us. Whether he's talking about just the 40 days, but probably going beyond the 40 days after his resurrection toward his ascension. They had that 40 days from the record here, and plus, of course, the 3.5 years of the first half of Daniel's 70th week before that. So they're going to pick out of someone who's been there pretty much all the time to fill that 12th slot for the "let his bishopric another take" from the Psalms. "Beginning from the baptism of John, unto that same day he was taken up from us, must one be ordained." So he's saying it has to be someone who is here from the beginning, from the baptism of John to the same day that he was taken up. Someone who is present all the time. And I guess that would be the qualification to meet the qualification of the other 12 disciples, as someone who was there all the time. Because, of course, he picked the first 12 immediately when he started his ministry and called them. So they're looking for someone that has that same record, so to speak, same credentials, if those could be credentials. And they appointed two, Joseph, called Bar-Sabas, who was surnamed Justus, and Matthias. And they prayed, and they said, "Thou, Lord, which knowest the hearts of all men, show us whither these two thou hast chosen, that he may take part of this ministry and apostleship from which Judas by transgression fell, that he might go to his own place." And they gave forth their lots, and the lots fell upon Matthias, and he was numbered with the 11 apostles. So they cast lots, and the casting of the lots is a godly thing when it comes down to something where, you know, the Word of God doesn't give us an answer. It is fine to cast lots. Of course, the world would take that and they would expand that to gambling and lotteries and things like that. But that would be an ungodly purpose for the casting of lots. Okay. We're in chapter 2 now of the Acts of the Apostles. "And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven, as of a rushing mighty wind." Now, what is the Pentecost? The Pentecost is, they have seven sevens, is 49, and the day after, of course, is the Pentecost. So that was a feast day of the year of the Hebrew calendar, beginning, of course, from Abib, the new moon, and Abib, which is the beginning of the Hebrew calendar that God, that the Almighty, gave to the Hebrew people. Not the calendar they keep today, certainly not the Gregorian calendar, which followed some 1,000-plus years later, after the Messiah, but the calendar that we find in the Scripture. And if you don't know anything about that, you can go to my website, crosstheborder.org. You'll find a link there that says, "What month Is it? Yes, because the word month is derived from the moon. So I emphasize that fact by saying, what month is it? And you click on that link there and you can see a graphic depiction of what the first 3 months of the biblical Hebrew calendar looked like. And that is from the scripture. You'll see some scriptural references there to back that up too. And you'll find nothing in the scripture contrary to what you see there on that page. And if you do, if I've neglected something, if I've erred in something, please email me and get out your e-sword and look up the references there, the Textus Receptus, using the Strong's Greek and Hebrew concordance, and please correct me. It is your duty, if you're really a Bible student and a follower of our Heavenly Father and His Word, you have a duty to love God first and love your neighbors yourself, and that loving your neighbors yourself part is extends your duty to correcting me if I'm wrong. So I would appreciate that if you would. Okay, that's kind of a challenge too for people that object to the things that they hear over the air. I challenge you. Come on, where are all of you people? You know, I guess everyone must agree with me because there's not many challenging me out there. Okay, here we are in chapter 2 and verse 1, well, we'll just pick up there. The day of Pentecost fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came the sound from heaven as a rushing, mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues, as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now, what I see here, I see this, as the Spirit gave them utterance. No, they weren't doing that babbling thing that you'll find in some of these Pentecostal, jump in the pews churches where they're all just going, blah, 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 and, you know, you do that times 20 or 50 or 100, and you can imagine they sound like a babbling brook if you're fortunate, because I kind of like the sound of a babbling brook. But when it's coming out of the mouths of people, it's confusion. But let's read on and see if we can get a little more idea of what exactly was happening here at Pentecost. When the Holy Ghost came on them, they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. So we know there was no confusion because the Spirit was in complete control here. There was no flesh getting into this thing and taking control of it. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men of every nation under earth, and Iudeus, belonging to Yahudah. So these are people of faith dwelling at Jerusalem, devout men, it says. Okay, these are people of God, devout men, not as you think of Jews today. You take this in context of the day that it was written, and these aren't just, you know, what people think of as Jews going to the synagogue today. These were devout men, it says. It adds this devout. These were men who were after the Heavenly Father. They were after Yahuwah, and they were devout men out of every nation under heaven. Now listen to what it says. Now when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own language. Ah, so this isn't that babbling thing that they do now that we have recorded here. They were speaking, they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And everyone, you had these men, you had devout men out of every nation under heaven there in Jerusalem. It was Pentecost, remember? So the faithful were coming from every nation. So we know that it was a time of feast day in Jerusalem. And you have these men, and it says here, they were confounded. And what does it mean, they were confounded? Let's see, what do we got here? Disorder, confounded, confused. They were stirred up. they were in an uproar because something unusual was happening, because that every man heard them speak in his own language. We'll pick up here after we get back from a short musical interlude and some messages. You're listening to Cross the Border. Don't go anywhere.